You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Maintaining business as usual means we start off with how the markets have been moving throughout the day, and I'm joined on the line by Portfolio Manager and Director at Rand Swiss, Gary Boyson, to take a look at the market movements throughout the day. Good evening, Gary. Lovely to speak to you again. Friday was quite an interesting way to close out the week. US numbers sent the markets into a bit of a spiral. What happened on Monday?
Yeah, so the labor market was just too strong, which is interesting because you would think a strong labor market is good, but no, good numbers are bad numbers, because what we want to see is a weak U.S. labor market, because a weak U.S. labor market will mean that we're going to get interest rate cuts. So non-farm payrolls actually showed that the U.S. Labor market had added 272,000 jobs. We were expecting under 200,000 jobs, so that was a little bit of a surprise, but it was a mixed number, though. So like I said, we're looking for a weaker U.S. labor market, and we had unemployment ticking up slightly, so to 4%, and that was actually ahead of the 3.9% expectations. Either way, though, this means much stronger dollar, because everyone is pricing in interest rate cuts only later in the year. If I look at it, the probability of getting an interest rate cut, the probability of getting no interest rate cuts this year went from around 6% to 12%. So that doesn't sound like a lot, but that's actually quite a big change. In September, where we were penciling in the first cut, it's now around 50-50 whether we actually get an interest rate cut or not. So kind of threw the whole market into a bit of a tailspin. We obviously saw gold collapsing on the back of that as the dollar became more attractive, because it gives a yield, and suddenly the safe haven became dollars instead of gold. It was definitely a lot of turmoil after the number.
Yeah, that gold collapse was something I watched on Friday, and I was actually quite shocked that it was that significant. I mean, it was one of the most bearish price movements that we've seen on gold from a daily basis in quite some time. I think it eclipsed quite a bit of daily movement almost the last I'd say probably a last 2-3 weeks of daily movements were taken out in one file swoop, from $2,800 or $2,380 to even below $2,300, and we closed out there. Gary, how much longer can the market take this? How much longer can we have this higher for longer narrative? Because the last NFP reading was bad news, was good news, and then the market loved that. Now we've gone the opposite. The market seems to not be comfortable. We've got a very important Fed meeting coming out, or Fed conversation this week, where Fed Chair Jay Powell is set to speak, and we're not expecting a cut, but we are wanting to look at that dot plot to see where that puts us for the rest of the year. Does the market even have room to continue to go up and down with the Fed?
I think the market will always go up and down at the Fed, because they control the price of the dollar, which is unfortunately still a reserve currency of the world. Now, if you look at we were talking about that gold movement earlier. So, part of, I think, the big move on gold, one, yes, the idea that interest rates might be higher for longer, the US dollar becomes relatively more attractive because you're going to get a higher interest rate for longer. So you don't want to go into something like gold that pays you nothing. There's no dividend on gold. There's no coupon on gold. But at the same time, the Chinese Central Bank has been buying a lot of gold, and they also announced at exactly the same moment that they were going to be holding off on purchases. So that's one of the reasons that gold dipped so aggressively. It wasn't just an interest rate story. But at the moment, we are seeing gold recovering. So back above $2,300 an ounce. And I think it's going to be volatile. And as you said, everything comes down to, what happens on Wednesday. Now, we know, when I say we know, there's a 99% chance, according to Fed Funds Futures, that that we will see no interest rate change from the US on Wednesday. But it's going to be all about trying to understand this glide path. As you say, let's look at the dot plot. But we're also going to get inflation numbers out ahead of the announcement as well. So if you look at it, inflation is the reason that we can't have lower interest rates is because inflation is still above the Fed's 2% target. That's why the Fed can't cut interest rates at this stage. The expectation is for around, if I look at the headline number, around 3.4%. And remember, they're looking for about 2%. So interest rates have to stay higher for a while still. If we look at the core number, which strips out the more volatile components of the basket, so that's energy and food prices, they're expecting a moderation from around 3.6% down to 3.5%, so still pretty high, which kind of leads me to believe that there's not going to be too much move. But what do we want to hear? We want to hear Jerome Powell come out and say things are going to be okay. We're going to cut interest rates eventually. That's what we want to hear. I don't know if we're going to get it, though.
Gary, when we look at this Fed conversation compared to last week's one, last week we saw ECB cut rates. They went ahead and said, look, this is, from our side, this is what the European economy needs. We're going to cut rates, and we're not going to let the Fed lead that part of the conversation the way they led rate hikes. Is this something that we can hope to see other economies potentially do if this higher for longer narrative remains? Because in as much as the dollar does remain the reserve currency and the strong currency at this stage, we are seeing a very big kind of concerted effort, especially from the China that you mentioned earlier, that China sold off a record number of bonds in the last couple of months, and they don't look like they're planning on slowing down in that respect. Is this something where other economies might say, we can't afford to maintain higher for longer? I know South Africa is a bit different because the moment we do something on our side, the rand is moved and then inflation comes back and then it's a vicious cycle all over again. But maybe perhaps other economies around the world might look at this differently.
I think every economy has to look at it for themselves. So yes, some economies are looking and saying we can't keep higher for longer. Other economies like Japan are saying we couldn't even start our interest rate tightening cycle given the massive amount of debt. And they've had to relieve the pressure in the economy through the yen. And I mean, we've seen what's happened to the Japanese yen over the last couple of months. I mean, absolutely blowing out against the US dollar. So 100%. ECB has cut interest rates for the first time. And I think the economy, though, is in a very different position to the US economy. You remember they joined people like the Swiss National Bank has already cut rates. Canada also cut rates last week. So, you know, a lot of economies are starting to respond to their economies weakening, because what do you want from higher interest rates? Higher interest rates increase the price of money. It makes the cost of spending more expensive for consumers. It makes the cost of projects for firms more expensive. And it cools the whole economy through the multiplier. With that happening, with all these economies cooling, they're feeling ready. They're going, wait a minute, our economies are getting cool enough that we can start to provide a little bit of relief. The U.S. economy is very, very different. It's just not in that space. The U.S. jobs market is just so, so strong. They continue to hire, and we still see these kind of almost persistent, almost embedded in inflation in the system, which is what the Fed has to break. Now, I don't know if South Africa can move outside of the Fed cycle, because we are starting to see many major economies cutting. But South Africa, I just get the sense that the South African Reserve Bank is to a large extent constrained by what happens in the US. Are we going to cut ahead of the Fed? I just can't see that happening. Now, you know, if you look at the actual currencies, I mean, obviously with the French Macron announcing snap elections today, we've got, you know, the Paris markets really on the back foot, down more than 1%. But, you know, both the rand and the dollar are actually strengthening against the likes of the euro at the moment. So the dollar is getting stronger, but so is the rand. So I don't know. At this stage, I wouldn't think that the SARB is going to cut before the Fed, but let's see what happens.
I'm glad you brought up that French conversation, because I wanted to look at that next from a global perspective, to say that some economies have their own little challenges, but obviously with President Macron announcing early elections off the back of those poor polling numbers, the stock market in France absolutely did not love that. And it almost reminded me of our own situation with the elections that we've been going through. Do you think that the volatility in France will increase if the current president or the current leadership is to be changed? Is this a good thing or a good move for French stocks?
Well, clearly not a good move for French stocks, because there has been a little bit of a recovery. So we are down almost 2%, and it really dragged the whole European index down today. So we had, you know, the DAX in Frankfurt also down around a third of the percent. Even the FTSE was down around call it 0.2%. So the whole European market kind of sliding, and I think it throws the focus back onto how instrumental politics can be in financial markets, and we've seen the volatility in our local market around the elections. I mean, the rand at 18 rand to the dollar, then almost back to 19, then strengthening back. And I think, you know, this is going to continue to happen in Europe as we see what pans out. So I think the elections are now going to be called. I think it's the 1st of July with either 1 or 2 week runoff after that. But, you know, again, remember, this is Macron's attempt to try and almost stifle the very right-wing government of Marine Le Pen. So, you know, he's a centrist, but obviously losing support. And I think, you know, we've got a lot of elections coming up this year. So, I mean, obviously, we've got the big US elections as well. There's elections across the globe. And I think this is a year where we're going to experience this high volatility, not just in Europe, but all over. And we're going to feel it in the currency, but we're going to feel it in the underlying financial markets as well.
Gary, before I let you go, I want to look at the local markets. Some companies reporting results, interims from Oceania, full years from Alex Forbes and Omnia, and I've got conversations with both those CEOs a little later on. But despite all of this, markets not having a good day, resources being dragged down by that gold price, obviously dragging down gold counters, but industrials also down 1% and the all share closing down almost 1%. What do you make of the local moves?
Yeah, local moves. It was really the banks that were saving us for most of the day. So the financial index was actually positive for most of the day and just dipped into the red at the end. So we still had the likes of First Rand up slightly. Standard Bank also finished marginally positive. Discovery up 1.1%. Doing its best, but I think in a generally negative day, maybe it was a strong currency probably feeding into the banks and the financials because they are very much SA Inc. stocks. Looking at Oceania, it's not a huge move in the share price, also up around 1.23% today, but I thought a very solid set of numbers from the group. So revenue up around 12%. Obviously it's a very cyclical business, and a lot of their earnings are going to in the second quarter. This is the interims in the second quarter are going to just depend on catch rates across Namibia and SA. So if they catch the fish, it's going to be a good set of results. So it's got that kind of inbuilt volatility to it, but it's very solid. Earnings up 84%, or call it 85%, and they also managed to lift their dividend, not a special dividend, but managed to lift their dividend by 50%. So at interim stage, we're talking about R1.95. So I thought a very good set of results from Oceania. Just I think in a negative day, and still managed to buck the trend and go up though.
Still managing to stay stable and buck the trend when markets are not being favorable. I guess that's the nice thing about having such a strong set of numbers and having the ability to report those numbers in a difficult time. We'll leave it at that, Gary. Thanks as always for those insights and for the time. Gary Boysen, Portfolio Manager and Director at Rand Swiss, joining me for this week's, or for today, a Market Watcher segment, reflecting on some of the movements throughout the day and what we can expect for the rest of the week.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.